Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. This one, a follow-up that I had promised here a couple weeks back when we looked at the January 6th DNC pipe bomb. So I did look at this more closely to try to understand the timeline more specifically. And so that's what we're going to do today and have some other additions based on some articles and some other things that people have pointed out. So that's what we're going to do today. I've got this from the great work that I think it's declassified with Julie Kelly. It's www.declassified.live. Her website and their videos there and the analysis done there. Plus, also, there's a guy from Revolver News. And Revolver News is highly important. They're the ones who broke the Ray Epps situation, the informants, or rather, you know, undercover and or confidential informants at January 6th, and that's an absolute true thing. I hear Bongino talking about, well, I'm told that there were plenty of people there, and I remember many episodes back, I don't remember if I made it a main part of my episode, but I pointed to an article where there were so many people on January 6th, one of the agents were like, one of the agencies were asking for like some kind of a tally or a total, so they'd have some sense of who was involved. But nonetheless, Bongino, you know, he does great work as far as remembering that there's stories and not giving up on them just because time has passed. When they're important stories, you stick to them, and he does that. So this was, again, around the idea of January 6th there being an RNC pipe bomb and a DNC pipe bomb. I'm going to highlight a few things, and then what I want to do is just talk about some of this. Detail is going to be how many times were agents near where they should have seen a pipe bomb. And I'll be a little bit meticulous with that. And then secondly, we'll also talk about when they found it and kind of their reaction to it or lack of reaction to it. And so that's what we'll talk about. We'll talk about something that happened at about 9:30, which is a bomb-sniffing dog, and then a detail arriving at 11:25. Remember, the pipe bomb, they put a big reward, like $500,000, for the person they saw snooping around the night before, even though you never actually saw him planting anything. He was just sitting at the two different benches. At 12:25, the detail first arrives. We then have at 12:03... we see them returning. There's some activity at 12:03. I'm sorry, at first I think I said 12:25. I meant 11:25, the detail arrives. Secret Service and Metro Police presumably is with Kamala. At 12:03, more action as different vehicles return. 12:07 as well. Then 12:51. This is where we seem to see somebody potentially placing something, so that's going to be important. 12:51. Then 13:05 is corresponding to what seems to be the initial news. Plainclothes officer approaching from the right and supposedly seeing the thing. And we'll talk about that. And so those are some of the highlights we'll speak to. Again, some of this is circumstantial in that how could they not have seen this? I'll explain the layout. Other odds and ends real quickly, I'll just lead with this so it maybe helps me remember as we talk about it. Otherwise, the Secret Service never reported this evacuation as an unusual protective event as you'd think they would and as required by its policies. This is a pipe bomb. They never reported it as a, quote, unusual protective event. Representative Benny Thompson, who is the chairman of the January 6th Select Committee, says they did not look into the pipe bombs. I'll add that something recent, and it is Bongino getting his whistleblowers, says that he had somebody that was involved with the investigation where they got a full briefing on the potential pipe bomber from the night before. And even though, you know, they have him on video and they don't have him placing anything, but they even put, you know, a big reward towards it. He says that his whistleblower, 2-3 days in, when they should be following up on this, just said, don't worry about that guy. Well, how could you not worry about that guy? He's a pipe bomber, and the only lead you have for someone that is associated with one, and it seems like potentially two, because how were these things found so close to each other, both at the DNC and RNC? So yeah, Representative Benny Thompson admits they did not even look into the pipe bombs. Kamala Harris never talks about it. Think about that. Well, she will talk about being, you know, she'll say something about it was the Pearl Harbor or whatever. She also won't talk about the fact that she was supposedly nearly assassinated. I said before, I think it's because you can't corral that many Secret Service agents, and you do respect them, and at least one of them are probably like, you better not bring me into this cover-up, so you better just make nothing of it, because I'm going to tell the truth if there's something to it. Now, that was either implied or expressed. You have too many Secret Service agents. Some of them, if some of them knew it was hogwash, then you just make it disappear instead of thinking that you're going to make this a big blow-up and they're going to testify and lie in front of people, because not all of them are going to lie. The Inspector General Kafari said the bomb was 9 feet from the front of the building and 20 feet from the center of the driveway. That will be important as we talk about the layout and then we cover these different points and I go over the details of these different visits at the front of the DNC by Secret Service and Metro Police and whoever else was involved. Yeah, why does she not talk about how she also was, quote, nearly assassinated? Isn't that interesting? I mean, can't she one-up or at least equal the Trump thing? I guess because that's become a memory hold story. You know, apparently she didn't have to bring it up. And remember that the Department of Justice lied for almost a year with the idea they led with this. It was one of the reasons the Capitol breach was so... you know, among others, but certainly this was an emphasis, that the Capitol breach was such a big deal because Kamala was at the Capitol. Well, she wasn't there during any part of the disturbance. Instead, she went to the DNC for some reason during a session. You know, was this prior warning of the staged event, whether she knew it was staged or not? And another interesting thing is that the guy there the night before got a phone call. We can see him taking a phone call. So where's the investigation of this? Think of my coverage of 2,000 mules. Now, least case, it's just a matter of deciding to do it. You say, hey, can we get the data on phones that were, because the more scoped, the easier. Phones that were within this geofence area, you know, within these 3 or 4 blocks, within 24 hours, and you could make it bigger, but you could make that a second. You can make that a secondary request, and you can get it down to the phone ID. Like, they don't have enough information to go back to the phone ID after that, from the phone ID? Where's the investigation of the fact that this guy was carrying a phone and even used it? I think he was on a call. That's the notes I have. The Secret Service text messages are, quote, gone. Like, 24 Secret Service officials, they're gone. From around the DNC pipe bomb situation, maybe that was also around the RNC, quote, pipe bomb. How do we have camera angles from the night before when we go, hey, this guy's, you know, just hanging around the benches. He's on one, and then later he comes back, and he sits on the other one, which is perpendicular and feet away, and the pipe bomb is in the corner between the two underneath a small bush. Per the Revolver News guy, the timing of these pipe bombs found versus the Ray Epps-led break-in is key because they're basically simultaneous, which leads to the responding officers saying that they weren't at full strength for the Capitol due to having to respond to the RNC and the DNC pipe bombs. How has this investigation gone to like, oh, what investigation? Well, what pipe bombs? Imagine. And the other thing that somebody mentioned yesterday, it was the Revolver News guy. I don't have his name off the top of my head. But they said that it wasn't at the RNC. It was close to the RNC. It wasn't right outside the building or at the building like the DNC pipe bomb was. Maybe that's because they wouldn't have had as much. If there was a conspiracy, hashtag there was, it's a matter of what the detail is all. Then it came mostly from the DNC side to have a distraction and a reason, and or that you would have more control at the DNC. You don't have control at the RNC. And if it was placed earlier, and I don't think we have the RNC video anywhere, then you would want it placed in a less obvious place than right in front of the building. So it was close to the RNC. It was not at the RNC. And what the Revolver News guy points out, it is great foresight to say, oh, well, we should check the DNC too, because that's what triggered it. We should check the DNC too. And then they, quote, found it. When it wasn't in front of the RNC, it was actually closer to another building or just as close as some other building, like in an alleyway or something. So that is also highly suspicious. He also brings up, well, if there was two, why did they imagine there was only just two? The other thing that's highly suspicious is how they're pretty... I think the answer was, as pedestrians, we'll talk about the layout, we'll talk about the events, but you'll find out that the pipe bomb is, you know, feet away from where pedestrians walk. And when they, quote, found it, they were highly casual. And somebody asked them, why are you so highly casual? I forget who they asked them, the FBI or... Well, it's because we didn't want to create panic. Wait, what? What? That's a non-serious answer. That's not what serious people in serious positions, how they answer to a relevant and proper question. It's just like when I said the Secret Service director and her totally non-serious answers around the Trump assassination attempt. Same thing here. You don't worry about panic. You're trying to save lives, and all you have to do is cordon them off. You don't say, holy shit, there's a pipe bomb. Everybody run. But you, as quickly as you can, because you're professionals and you're Secret Service, you cordon off and make sure people don't come close to it. That's easy. You've already got cars. You can block off things and have somebody go up to the next corner and say, everybody, avoid this area. And at the most, they're going, what's going on? But they're rubbernecking from a half block away. This is not hard. A non-serious answer. So that's another one. Why are you guys acting like it's no big deal? Unless and until you've realized, and unless and until you've understood the pipe bomb to be fake. And so if they are acting like it's no big deal, they could have just been like, but that sounds like something, you know, the local police would do, not the Secret Service and the Metro Police detailed to Kamala's protective detail, or at least working with them that day. It's you know, to just kind of go, well, I don't know, maybe it's not real. I don't know what to do. What should we do? Oh. It's like, oh, I guess maybe we should have told them not to keep walking by. It didn't, but, you know, at the time, it's like, surely that's not real. You know, is it real? You think it's real? I don't know. Like, why would you not start that with an abundance of caution? And you'd think of the procedures that level of protective detail has, that would be their default trigger, and they didn't do that. So that's the aside. Again, I've told you what we're going to cover on the high level. First, it's going to be the various activity and how close they got to the pipe bomb, and you just have to go. It turns out it's just off camera where the area would be, but literally just off camera. I just told you from where the pipe bomb was to the center of a driveway was only 20 feet. So just off camera to the right. So first we're going to talk about the various times they were right near it. Even though we can't quite see how close they get, they were right near it. And again, then another time we'll talk about how that's when they found it. So you get that background. So again, looking from declassified.live, a few articles you can look up is, I'm not talking about the article name, but the end of the link is another suspicious moment in DNC. So that probably goes with the beginning of the headline. the next one on declassified.live, the link ends with media continues to ignore Kamala. And so that should go along with a headline. And then declassified.live, interviews on latest DNC pipe bomb. And then it's truncated, and that probably goes to the headline. So the layout here I'm going to discuss, and then we'll talk about the various times that agents were nearby, including a time where it seems as though somebody very easily could have placed the pipe bomb at that time. Because one of the suspicions is, how would all these people be this close from the night before? So one area, we see a guy with a bag, and he's coming from a Metro police or a SUV, I forget which, but we'll get to that. Walks to the right off camera for, I don't know, 30 seconds or a minute. We'll get into that. And then walks back with a bag. He's definitely carrying a bag, there's no doubt. And then he gets into an SUV, and I forget, and we'll go over it. 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, we've found the pipe bomb! So that's suspicious, of course, as well as the fact that why didn't the camera move? Which later on it did, so it was capable of moving. And who the hell was controlling the camera that it was able to pan to the right once the low-level panic of maybe it is something bad did show up? That's really weird. So as far as the layout, this is the layout. Most of the view is you're looking kind of kitty-cornered across the street instead of straight across the street, maybe 30 degrees, 20 degrees to the left, okay? You're seeing not your side of the street. You're seeing the street and then the far curb, and you're seeing a sidewalk that is right along the curb. So not green first and then sidewalk. Sidewalk right along the curb. About 25% over from the left, you see the driveway. The driveway is at the far end of the DNC building. And so you see a driveway that goes downhill, straight perpendicular from the street. It's a slight downhill to the garage of the DNC. So you see the driveway, and it's even basically with the left end of the DNC building. This driveway and the garage is more than two car widths, because cars can pull out in either lane, if you will, and cars will back up into this with some space in between them. So if I had to guess, the driveway is probably 15 feet wide, but, you know, something like that. And so there's a two-car entrance, at least, because, again, there's a little bit of width in between. It's not tight. And as that driveway goes down, and, again, it's straight, then there's also a garage door that can open and close down there. And I think maybe some separating, you know, poles there in a couple of spots. So then to the left of that building, we do see a bit of the street continuing from right to left. And again, it's slightly, you know, say 20, 30 degrees off. So we see it at a little bit of an angle. And we see as you go past the DNC, the last part of the building itself, that far left, driveway edge, you see that it's really only about, it looks to be maybe 30 feet, maybe only 25, maybe 40 to a in-town underpass. And so you can see through the underpass and the lanes going underneath. And then to a little bit to the right of the driveway, I don't remember, 6 to 10 feet, you'll see that there's a traffic light for at least a walkway, but it's probably also a traffic light, I forget. And you can see that there's a walkway that comes across the street. It seems like it might be a little bit more diagonal rather than straight right angle, because it seems as though cars can go straight towards, they can't pull right, there's no street to the right, there's only the building. They can go straight underneath the overpass, but it seems there's a diagonal left they can take, and I believe that's the reason for the stoplight, and that's also a crosswalk. The crosswalk seems to be more at an angle as opposed to a total right angle. And so that crosswalk light and traffic light is near the farthest right we can see. And what we see, that's if you go at the right edge of the driveway, up by the sidewalk, you see a bit of that sidewalk going to the right from the driveway. like I said, 6 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet, something like that is the crosswalk. And there we see the square of grass. It's, I'm sorry, square of vegetation. It's ground cover. So it's a rectangle, you know, from the right edge of the driveway, also along the sidewalk, that's ground cover. And then we see, if we were to piece together, stitch together other photos of where the pipe bomb is, and also the video pans to the right at some point, so we see this as well. But it doesn't pan to the right for most of the video. We see again, what do we say, 20 feet to the center of the driveway. So this, as I explain the layout, you'll realize this little ground cover area, this rectangle, is not very big. So it's a rectangle of ground cover. Now that's as far as the camera goes. You don't see where the right edge of that rectangle, which is where it's no longer just straight sidewalk, it extends back towards the building. It's a patch of cement or, you know, other paved stuff there. And you see it's a rectangle with one edge perpendicular to the street and then another edge, you know, parallel to the front of the building. The DNC continues to go to the right. As our view ends, we're still seeing just the beginning of the building to the right of the driveway, our main view, but it continues on to the right, just parallel to the street. So again, that rectangle of ground cover, and then it opens up to the right just off of our view until they pan, and unless we have our stitch, you know, our stitch photograph, where it opens up towards the back of the building, and it's a big square, you know, where you can stand in there instead of just walking along the sidewalk. You can sit on benches back there. One bench is along the right edge of the ground cover, if you will, as it goes back perpendicular. The bench is perpendicular to the building, perpendicular to the street, and closer to the back end of that rectangle. And another bench is parallel to the street, parallel to the building. And so these benches almost form an L, and if you will, as you're looking at it, the upper left area of this square patch or rectangular patch, the right angle patch. And at that right angle patch, it's not ground cover the whole way on that vegetation, you know, rectangle to the left of this patch. It has some bushes, some hedges. And some hedges particularly are at the intersection of these two benches, particularly close to the bench that is perpendicular to the building, the bench that is parallel to the building. And the pipe bomb is placed there. Photos show it being, it's not really buried deep within the ground cover, deep within the hedge. That's the interesting part. It's just kind of sitting at the base. So that's the interesting part. And the other thing that's interesting about this layout is, as I told you, then, you know, at first it's the sidewalk to the right of the driveway, but then it opens up back and gets a lot bigger, you know, coming closer to the DNC building itself as the building goes to the right. Now, for the most part, you're going to the right. The DNC, when we see it pan, we'll see the DNC goes the rest of the way to the corner. The corner isn't really far. It looks like it's probably 40 or 60 feet. And the DNC front, that end of the building, takes up that whole area to the corner. And most of that, after that, you know, the sidewalk opens up and is deeper, you know, to the back of that bench, most as we go to the right is that deep. It doesn't really curl back to just a sidewalk much after that, but it is interrupted slightly, like a tree gets in the way, and so you'd have to walk toward the street again. But some large part of it is more of a small plaza feel where there's a couple other benches and you can walk wider. But you can't totally walk that whole width from when you've turned the corner from the right and you're headed now right to left. But a lot of it is more opened up. So that's the view. You can take a right off this and it can be kind of a wide right. I'm sorry, if you're coming right, and you're decided from the right end of the building, coming down left to come towards this driveway, again, you're not right up by the curb the whole time. You have a possibility to go in this, you know, further width towards the building. but it isn't entirely uninterrupted. Sometimes you have to kind of, you know, wiggle around and go around things. So that's the layout as we're looking at it. Again, you can't see these benches in the main view. It's interesting later that it can pan. So that's very interesting. So that's the layout there. Again, the farthest left of the building we see is even with the left end of the driveway. We see the driveway for the most part. That's what we see of the DNC. And then we see a little bit of the building itself to the right of the driveway. We don't really see much of the second floor. And then it ends about where we can see the walkway light. We can see the sidewalk going towards the underpass to the left. We can see that people cross in the crosswalk. And we can't see that patch where the benches are, but we can see the ground cover. We do not see far enough to where the bushes themselves are. So that's the layout. Now let's talk about the timeline. And some of this, again, will just be how close they get to that area where it seems like, gosh, I'm not sure how you couldn't have seen that. So the bomb was supposedly there from the night before. That's hogwash. I mean, I think you'll conclude with me it's hogwash once you listen. You don't have to take my word for it, but let's talk about it. A 9:28:53:10 a.m., an officer with a bomb-sniffing dog lets the dog all the way to the back of the driveway and lets the dog go to the end of the chain to the right, past where we can see it. But again, I just told you, it's only 20 feet from the center of the driveway. So you're talking a whole lane there, which is probably 6 feet or so. And now you're only 14 feet from where the bomb is, and maybe even less. So the dog has no hesitation, doesn't find anything. It's a matter of seconds from the dog and the man coming from the right end of the frame, which would have been just to the left of the bench area. That's the funny thing. They would have been coming from the direction where if you're walking right to left and you look a little to your right, you're seeing that corner where those benches are. We don't know that they didn't look in that area, and it would make sense that they would have looked in that area, but we don't see it. But they're coming from right to left, which would be the reason to continue to look in front of the DNC. But we don't have that view. Remember, we had that view from the night before, because this was a different view, finding him basically straight away on both benches, two different angles. So there's really like, why wouldn't you have checked that area? As you're going up into the areas near the DNC, you went up into the driveway, wouldn't the previous thing been going on the square to the right where the benches were? This really leans toward there being no pipe bomb there at the time. So, they enter from, you know, just to the right of the frame. As I told you, that would have been just to the left of the bench area. Enters from the right to the left. He's along the ground cover as soon as we see him. By 9 seconds, they've entered the driveway and gone all the way back towards the door. About 10 seconds in, the dog is being led to go to the right, which would be bush and ground cover area back towards the wall of the building. About 11 seconds, the officer's already kind of pulling the dog back to the left. The dog's seen again in the frame in the driveway at about 13 seconds into this clip, or the part that's important, and going back to checking left to the retaining wall of the driveway. At 19 seconds, they go back towards the right. The dog goes off screen to the right, where, again, the dog should only be feet away from the bomb. And then, in fact, the officer then walks directly to the right, back near the building, not way up by the sidewalk, as opposed to being up by the sidewalk, disappearing at about 21 seconds. So if the pipe bomb was there, they were within feet of it a couple of times, if not three, from the part we see. And again, what he's doing is going right to left, so it makes sense he's checking in back towards the building, you know, from the corner off to the right. And then he's checking another square back towards the building. And he'd be looking visually too. So as he's going right to left and he finishes the building at the left in the driveway, wouldn't he have already been in that square? And then again, he goes back at the back end of the building and leaves right. He's within feet of it again. Does this make sense to you? Okay, so then we've got the detail arriving first. And again, why did why did Kamala even leave the Senate? It was a special session. Why did she leave in the middle of the day? Not, you know, direct evidence of anything, but odd. And I know Revolver News guy and Julie Kelly would know better. One or the other of them have pointed out this is a really big moment for her. It may have been the first time she was at Congress since, you know, the election with everybody else. It'd be a big moment. And then she just leaves in the middle of the day during a session. Huh. This next clip goes from 11:25:19 to 11:27:53. So a couple minutes and say, you know, about 40 seconds. So let me kind of decide how much of this I want to tell you about, because I took egregious notes and, you know, which one I would emphasize where they're close, as opposed to just there was a lot of activity, which there was. All right. So for this detail arriving 11:25 event, we'll talk about there's a lot of activity. You know, someone goes and stands underneath the overpass in lane and watching and blocking traffic that's oncoming, you know, from his left, but coming from their right. Coming towards DNC from underneath the overpass. And then we have multiple vehicles arriving from the right. Now remember, just off camera, we have the bench and the corner that if you look to your right, you're looking right up into that far right corner as you're looking in between, and there's the bushes, but it's not stuck in the bushes. It's just underneath, and these are not just absolutely dense to the bottom. It's more like it's a little bit more top heavy, and it's just sitting near the bottom of and on the front edge, if you will. It's not like it's in the center of the bushes. It's not. So we have a white police SUV appearing from the right, pulls past the driveway, pulls left to block oncoming line of traffic. That's one car, and it does just appear from the right, but it is gone from that angle where if anybody was looking to the right, they could see it. Or at least get some, like, hey, what's that over there? I mean, how totally clear view it was, I'll give some benefit about doubt to this. Not just sitting there, you know, blaze orange, but you'll see if you look at the picture, it's not like it was even stuck well within the bush, which you'd think it would be. Black SUVs following it. It would make sense that if the guy, I'm spoiling, but the guy with the bag just placed it quickly and knew it was going to be found quickly, he wasn't too worried about sticking it way within the bush. It was more important for him to get it out of the bag subtly, right? So, yeah, we've got first the white police SUV appearing, and it pulls left to block oncoming traffic, and then black SUVs follow. The third black SUV has lights on top. All of them are coming from the right, and all three of them. So now you have four SUVs that would have that point of view as they're coming from right to left to see that. And they enter the garage, the left half of the driveway, and then a fourth SUV stops on the road to the right of the driveway. So this SUV should be within 20 feet, and it would have slowed down more since it stopped. At the moment it sets, it's probably within 20 feet of the thing. Then we have different guys that are already outside, you know, some of them in trench coats and the like. And, you know, getting in and out of said vehicles. And then we have the second trench coat guy, I'll call him, who's gone in and out of various vehicles, moves a cone to the right of the driveway. At that point, to the right side of the driveway. And I think it may even maybe to the right of the driveway, slightly within the hedge, but I'm not going to pull up the video for sure. At that point, he should be near the bush at the back of the building in that, he has moved it either to the right end of the driveway or slightly into the ground cover. And remember, from the whole thing to the middle of the driveway was only 20 feet. So he should be near the bush at the back of the building. And then we have a lot of other activity going on. And then we have a black SUV. It should be the fourth SUV. It goes to back into the driveway. Okay, and as that black SUV backs into the driveway, the right half, what they're doing is they're placing a white SUV backing it into the left half of the driveway, facing out, and then they're taking, that's the Metro Police, then they're taking a black SUV and backing it into the driveway on the right lane as we're looking at it, the right half of the driveway. As they're backing into the driveway, two more agents wearing suits approach from the right. So these people were on foot, again coming, so they're going slower, they're not in cars, and they came from the right as well. So these are two other agents that were already a part of the detail that was inside, that were inside the various vehicles. So two more agents approach from the right there. So other things happen, blah, blah, blah. And then, let's see. The second new arrival agent of the agents we're talking about just stays on the sidewalk near the driveway entrance. He doesn't go way left. So at that point then, he is in not the absolute perfect area, but not far from where you could see this. So we're just pointing that out again, that he's not far away. And then we got different activity toward the DNC in the driveway, back and forth, SUVs backing up. And then we have the second trench coat guy that was one of the guys who was either there to begin with or got out of one of the initial vehicles and walked around closer to the overpass in the driveway. He exits to the right at 11:26:34. And then we have, hold on just a second, let me make sure I summarize this well. Yeah, and so we have the black SUV having backed up into the right side of the driveway. And then we have another police car arriving from the right. And it crosses the lane. I can't remember if that was to be perpendicular and block. I just don't remember. But the point there being that it's another car that's approaching from the right. So now we've had about six cars approaching from the right along that right curb. And at that point, the second trench coat guy who had exited to the right appears again from the right. And this is in between 11:26:34 and 11:26:58. So he's over there for at least 28 seconds off to the right. And again, immediately off to the right is the patch of cement and whatever else they have there that's at the base of the square of pavement that the benches are on. And he's off over there in that direction for 24 seconds. And then the last little bit, I don't know that I took note of every pedestrian, but I did in this segment of 2 minutes and 40 seconds at least take note of one pedestrian towards the end here. There was a pedestrian walking on the sidewalk coming from the right. So a lot of different exposure to someone potentially seeing this thing in this little segment here that's starting at 11:25:19 and ending at about 11:27:53. So there you go, about 2 minutes and 34 seconds or so. All right, so the next main activity is the last one ended 11:27:53. This one starts, what would that be, about 36 minutes later at 12:03. Not a lot of activity, but just something to note. We have a white police SUV entering from the right side of frame. At this moment, where those cars parked are where they already are. So remember, there's a black SUV pulled into the right lane facing out. There's a white Metro Police, I believe, but it's a white car, white SUV. Yeah, white police SUV. Well, two vehicles are still in the driveway. I forget if one's a car, but the one on the left is a white car, a Metro Police car, I believe, or a white Metro SUV. So black on the right, white on the left. And then a white police SUV enters from the right side of the frame. So along this curb, it's yet another vehicle that should have and could have 37 minutes later potentially seen that. And a lot of activity occurs. And at some point, somebody, second trench coat guy is what I'm calling him, gets out of the passenger side of the white police car parked in the left side of the driveway. So he's getting out of the passenger side. So he's at the far left of the driveway. And he points to the right, but, you know, nothing definitive there, just pointing out that he did point to the right. And then those people enter, some of them enter the SUV, and one of the SUVs pulls away. So that's that. Not a lot of activity, but just pointing out that another vehicle entered the area, would have had an opportunity to see, and somebody points to the right. Now that ends at 12:05:09 with the white SUV. I believe the one that was in the driveway, but it could have been the one that entered. I just don't know for sure. Pulling away. And the next one starts, the next activity starts only 2 minutes and 42 seconds later at 12:07:45. This time frame is really not that long. There's a lot of activity, and the big key here is that there's just a lot of activity, again, not far from where this thing is supposedly setting. So this goes from about 12:07:45 to 12:10:47. So you're talking about 3 minutes and 2 seconds. So first we have an agent appearing from the right, but it's not even way up by the sidewalk. It's back by the building. So we're talking, I believe, just a hair bit of ground cover behind the, and maybe bushes back there, from behind that bench that is parallel. So he's within feet, again, from this thing. Now his viewpoint may not be great, but he's moving right to left, so his viewpoint is changing. So that's big. And then he does walk to the left of the park SUV towards the street and turns left and walks back up the sidewalk to the right again then. So he's taking a kind of a U-ey, right? He's going from right to left along the building. Then he goes along the left edge, I believe, of, you know, the near edge of the driveway coming towards the street. And then he walks back up the sidewalk and he exits the frame to the right. So he's over in the area where that would open back up again. And then we see a white police SUV enter the frame from the right. And they stop just before the driveway. Now, is this right before the big patch? No, it's probably just past it. But they're in the same general area. They're more directly at the ground cover and just to the right of that perpendicular, just to the left of that perpendicular bench, but still in the general area. And now the agent, I'm not sure if it's the same one that just appeared off screen, but an agent appears from the right walking along the sidewalk. And if it is that same agent, then they were in the direction of the bench for 44 seconds. So that agent didn't see it. We're getting closer and closer, and the thing's been there the whole time. Okay. So now we just have a lot of activity with this SUV. It's not suspicious per se, or I'm not trying to put the analysis into it. It's just a lot of people being outside of this SUV that is parked at the curb, and all of them are not far from this pipe bomb. But none of them see it. None of them care to look around. And maybe they shouldn't look around at this point if they haven't seen anything suspicious, but just a lot of people going to the idea of, shouldn't somebody have seen this? You'd think, you know, their eyes should be on a swivel, and it's just more people being very close to it and not seeing it. So the agent approaches the SUV that's parking at the curb, so there's that guy. And then the driver's and the passenger side doors open. A man comes from the passenger side with a trench coat. A man coming from the driver's side looks like he may have a police jacket. The passenger side opens the rear door of the SUV. The driver opens the driver's side back door. And then they start moving things from the back seat to the back of the SUV. I don't know why. I have no idea why. But they're parked there. They're moving things from the back seat to the back of the SUV. And the other two are standing to the back of the vehicle. So they're closer to where that square opens up to where the benches are, right? Because they're to the back. They're further to the right. Yet they're still just eyes not on a swivel. We do also see, as this unloading and loading is occurring, a pedestrian does walk by. So one more person. I didn't put whether right or left, but they did walk by. And so we've seen more than one pedestrian when each of these times is just kind of, you know, a couple minutes at a time. And then, you know, one small load gets put in as the agent who was first on the sidewalk gets into the left rear of the SUV, and all three leave. So quite a lot of activity not far from the pipe bomb, with highly trained people who should have their heads on a swivel acting not very highly trained, and their heads weren't on a swivel. Not that their behavior particularly was suspicious, but just, again, more possibilities to see something that was only feet away. You know, maybe a dozen feet at the most for some of them. All right, this next, the last one ended about 12:10:47. The next little segment is not really long, but it's very important. It's just another couple of minutes. And it starts at 12:51:25 p.m. So about, you know, not quite a whole 40 to 41 minutes later. So this is important because this is where the guy with the bag shows up. So we have, yeah, some people going to the right or whatever, maybe could be seen from the right. But more importantly, we have a guy with a black bag. So let's talk about that. And I was right, or I should say, let me clarify and answer. It was a white police car that was in the left half of the driveway facing out. It wasn't an SUV. So first action we see here is that a DC Metro Police SUV arrives from the right. Okay. And the white police car in the left half of the driveway starts to pull out. This is one that's been sitting there blocking it. Then we see the agent, and when I say arrives from the right, we see it in view. So we see it's in that last little half, that last little segment of the curb before the driveway. Just that last little bit that we can still see. An agent with a trench coat exits a passenger side, or the passenger side rear, of the white police SUV with a bag. Now, at first you're like, is there a bag? And you do have to look to kind of see, no, he's definitely dangling a bag down there subtly because he's wearing a trench coat too. But it is, you can see it. You can see it on his way to and then later. The bag's not easy to see as he goes, but it you appear to be able to see it preceding the first leg stride when we can see him pass the car. That's about 12:51:41. He has a black bag, like a small duffel bag. He's holding it close to his trench coat. It is not his trench coat. The agent exits to the right. At that point, the white police car slowly turns left into the street. At that point, as the white police car gets out of the way, the white police SUV drives away straight out of frame, and then it backs up into the left side spot where the white police car was in. So now it's facing out toward the street, or that's what it's doing. An agent appears again from the right. He's gone from 12:51:41, okay? Now, even if it wasn't about the bag, it's about being in the area where he should have seen this. So he left to the right, 12:51:41. He appears again from the right at 12:53:15. So we're talking about a minute and 34 seconds. Now, it appears that he's trying to be subtle with the bag or small briefcase, and he's carrying it with his right hand as he's going left to right, but you can see it. And he approaches the passenger side of the white police SUV that is now pulled in, you know, backwards facing the street into the left lane. So as he's approaching the passenger side of the white police SUV, this would be the far left end, the far left side of that driveway. The same guy gets into the passenger side of that SUV, still carrying the bag. Now, the next segment is, and you'd have to look at the stories because it's not super obvious watching, but I understand that the plainclothes guy was the guy who went and found the pipe bomb. So from here on out, it looks suspicious. Because why aren't they being more frantic about it? And it's quite a bit of time. So even though this is only about 3 minutes, and I'll call it 13:07:24. Oh, wait a second. Let me make sure this isn't 13:05:25. The plainclothes guy is the one who supposedly knows about the thing or has heard or been told about it or may have seen it to the right. They don't really do anything, and they don't act with urgency until 13:10:15, and then at 1:17 p.m., Harris is supposedly evacuated from the building. So again, 13:05:25 to 13:10:15, that's 4 minutes and 50 seconds, and so let's go over that. And the thing you're looking for is, well, it's just a little odd how they're milling about, at least, unprofessional, and how many people are getting close and how many pedestrians are around. Because I believe as a plainclothes officer approaches, the news is we think there's a pipe bomb over there. And so we're going to talk about all the pedestrians. This is at 1305. So again, then only 12 minutes, less than 12 minutes, less than 13 minutes, when the officer who had the bag enters the Metro Police SUV. And I did not keep track of that guy coming back out. So unfortunately, I don't have that. I wish I would have taken better note of that. Sometime at 12:53 p.m., the guy who had the bag went into the passenger side of the Metro Police SUV, which was in the left lane facing out. And then at 13:05:25, didn't have the exact seconds, but for the officer getting back into the Metro Police SUV. So give or take about 12 and a half minutes later, but maybe 13 minutes, who knows. So the plainclothes guy approaches from the right. He approaches the driver's side of the white police car in the left lane, so kind of the middle of the driveway. And he talks at the driver's window for 12 seconds. And he's carrying a backpack. He walks, maybe it's just because that's his plainclothes gear. You do hear my co-host there. And then he walks around to the passenger side. And he appears to sling the black backpack off his back as he walks around. He stands at the passenger side for another 8 seconds and leaves the passenger side, still carrying the bag with his left hand, approaches the driver's side of the black SUV in the right side of the driveway. So he's already talked to two different people in the white SUV, the white Metro SUV. Now he's going to the driver's side, which would be the near side, the closest side to the bomb. He's talking to the driver's side of the black SUV. And then he stands at the driver's side for 1306.11 to 1306.27. So this guy's come in, just kind of moseying. Looks like we might have a something. There's lots of pedestrians this whole time. So in between approaching and talking to people, we have now wasted a minute and 2 seconds. You think he'd be in a little bit more of a hurry? He could get on the radio and tell them. You know, they should be moseying on out of there with a quickness. So lots of pedestrians this whole time. He walks back. He walks to the right on the sidewalk with the bag over his left shoulder. So he's going back in that direction. Again, that's not so suspicious because we believe he's the one who's already said it's there, except that where is the urgency? He walks off frame at about 13:06:32, so a minute and 7 seconds into this, and pedestrians are crossing street left to right at the time in the crosswalk. 13:07:24, so now we're almost exactly 2 minutes into this, the plainclothes approaching from the right. The driver's side of the white SUV opens, so the middle of the lane, the middle of the parking lot. The driver and the passenger get out, and they stand at the SUV even once the doors are closed, as opposed to just closing as they're walking. So they're standing there closing the doors, not like, oh, let's go, and you just kind of slam the door closed as you go. 13:07:43, so a full 19 seconds later, they actually start walking away from the vehicle, but they're walking away slowly. The driver walks back towards the driver's side, opens the door, gets something else apparently, and then he closes the door a second time, 13:07:59, so he's wasted a whole 16 seconds closing at the first time and closing at the second time. And then the driver and two agents from the passenger side start walking a second later. And one agent goes towards the passenger side. The driver does go directly in the direction of the bomb. The other agent goes towards the driver's side of the black SUV. And then seemingly across the ground cover area. Again, no pan yet, but it does seem like he's going directly across. And one agent appears to be milling closer to the back of the black SUV, which is within damage area, so it is weird. Then we see a pedestrian walking from the right. And this is as far as we know. We're now talking 13:08:38. This is over 3 minutes after we think they got the notification from the plainclothes officer. They're still letting pedestrians walk by. So it definitely is suspicious as to whether they're really worried about it or whether some of them have been kind of told, You know, they're being patient, and they're the ones that get told not to. They know better than to have to do something major. I don't know. Then we have the agent near the white SUV, not important here. An agent appears from the right near the building, and a pedestrian walks from the right. Another pedestrian, 22 seconds later. Now we have the interesting camera pans to the right. Well, why couldn't it pan to the right to begin with? So this is at 13:09:02 when this little bit with a plainclothes officer approaching. That was at 13:05:25. So, you know, a little short, a little over 3.5 minutes in, we have the camera panning to the right. So who's running that camera? How do they do that? That's interesting. But regardless, about 8 seconds into that, knowing what the pipe bomb looks like from the pictures, we possibly see the lighter colored kitchen timer dial on the initial zoom in towards the right area. We can see pedestrians can be seen at the crosswalk on that side of the road right in front of the bench area. And nobody is at the corner of the benches, and another person walks by. So nobody's up at that corner yet at all. And then for some reason the camera zooms, but not to the left corner. And then it pans right, then pans back. So it doesn't zoom right to the right area. When it pans back, we can see agents to the left of the bushes on the far right side of the driveway near the building, looking right towards where the pipe bomb would be, but we can't see it. And then it pans quickly back further left, and we see pedestrians are still crossing from that side of the street. I don't know why it pans further to the left, but it does. But pedestrians are still crossing. I have one agent who had walked toward the street from the driver's side of the black SUV, so right near the ground cover, walks left on the sidewalk, which would be right as we're looking, and does approach the benches. Pedestrians cross in that direction. That could be the continuing crossing I was talking about. And he continues walking straight right, not toward the pipe bomb. Another agent walks in the same direction, right, not toward the pipe bomb. So are they subtly scooting out of there, even though they're not telling pedestrians? And then the same agent that walked right walks back left, but not towards the pipe bomb. And other agents are milling about towards the front of the two vehicles, about four of them. This would be out by the curb. And then 13:10:09, so now we're talking about this whole thing started at 13:05:25, so just short, 16 seconds short of 5 minutes, so 4 minutes and 44 seconds later, we see that two uniformed officers approach from left and appear to actually be looking where the pipe bomb would be. One walks straight left. I'm not sure. I said I approach from left. I may be wrong about that, but the point is that they do approach and they appear to be looking where it would be. One walks left. The other one approaches at a diagonal, so I think they probably approach from the right, and I got that wrong, and stops maybe 6 or 7 feet from it, apparently looking at it and or taking a picture. Like, it almost looks like he's holding his cell phone out or something. So again, then, when I told you it's not buried, he's in the middle of that square area. He didn't go all the way into the bushes. He's taking a picture from like a 45-degree angle, 5 or 6 feet back from it, and taking a picture. It is not buried in the bush, which goes towards the visibility of it. And then you have, that's at 13:10:13. 13:10:15, the officer who approaches appears to be signaling to the other folks, and they scatter some into the building. And then Harris is evacuated from the building, allegedly. So there you go, guys. Like, you've seen a lot of comings and goings from different people, including pedestrians, including plenty of agents. You've seen then an agent eventually, and plenty of them going right to where that area would be. You've heard me talk about someone approaching that area with a bag and being gone for a little while. And then only 15 minutes later, or whatever it ended up being, you know, let's repeat that again. That was plainclothes officer approaching at 13:05:25. And the officer who appeared to be carrying the bag got into the passenger side of the Metro Police, still carrying the bag at 12:53. So not seen for whatever, I think some people say 17 hours. And then a guy with a bag comes out of a Metro Police vehicle, goes to the right with it off camera, comes to the right back with the bag, comes into the passenger side of the Metro Police. 12 minutes later, a plainclothes police officer approaches. That's the guy who's telling them, hey, think we got a bomb. And you're going to tell me that he hasn't looked already? Like, he's been told it was, or he's already there going, hey, I think it's over there, because he doesn't go approach again. It's other guys who approach, and they're like, I wonder if it is over there. Plainclothes guy doesn't go back to that area again. Other guys go see for themselves. No one's in any big hurry or rush, but then they do, you know, they don't scatter, but they just briskly walk away. So, yeah, a lot of iffiness. I don't know how you come away with that. And again, the big highlight being the guy who took the picture. Again, he didn't wade into the bushes and have to move things to take the picture. He took the picture from the center of the cleared area, if you will, if there's an L that with setting on its side, and one bench is, you know, the left perpendicular side of that rectangular area, perpendicular to the building, perpendicular to the street. The other side of the L is that bench parallel to the building, parallel to the street. He's back kind of centered with both of them, or a hair further to the down and right. He's not way up by there. He's 5, 6, 7 feet away, feeling that's a good picture, a good angle to take the picture from, which means the other, that was visible. How could it be visible that long? I think it's basically open and shut, in my opinion, that it was not there. Again, the guy didn't have to approach it from the ground cover. The guy didn't have to approach it from behind the benches. The guy approached it from the center of the stand. If you were standing near the benches, talking to somebody on one bench and talking to somebody on the other bench, the perfect place you'd be standing was where you could see that. Again, that area is open as you're walking from the right. It's not really, really closed off. You would see it. There were plenty of people going by. There were plenty of people milling in that direction, i.e., it wasn't there before. It was not there all 17 hours. That much we can be sure. Do we know that the guy who went off to the right with the bag placed it 13 minutes before? We don't know for sure, but it sure is good circumstantial evidence, considered nobody else had seen it before. And again, the Revolver News guy says, the interesting thing is that the, you know, alarm of the RNC bomb being found is that really good timing with Ray Epps, people being pulled off, and then Ray Epps could make the quote breach, the Ray Epps led breach with the bear spray guy, because we do know he's talking to him. I've covered that. It's on audio. Hey, let's leave these things back here. Something that looks more threatening, you know, so they don't get shot. Bear spray guy and Ray Epps are coordinating that breach, and at the same time, we have agents and or police officers being pulled away from the Capitol because of two different supposed bomb scares that then disappear into the ether, that even the Democratic representative, who I think is the head of the DNC, of the January 6th investigatory committee, I believe he's a chairman, but Benny Thompson says, oh no, we didn't even look into the pipe bombs. How could that be? How could that possibly be? Why did they lie about Kamala being, you know, at the actual Capitol when she was not? Why did she leave at a strange time to appear at the DNC, you know, only a half an hour or so? I say that. Let me look back. I don't want to exaggerate. You know, before the thing is found. I think she actually appeared about 11:23 to begin with. Let's look again. Yeah, 11:23 is when that detail arrived. So I shouldn't have said a half an hour, so that's incorrect. Sorry about that. But it was, she hangs around for, an hour and 45 minutes and then is evacuated. Why is she at the DNC? It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, the DNC is a great place, but why wouldn't a sitting senator and a soon-to-be VP be at the Senate where her business is? It's all very strange, but the rest of it's circumstantial. What is clear to anybody thinking with one cell of their brain is that the pipe bomb was not there. Somebody placed it during the day, and it looks like the agent at about 12:51 placed it. But certainly it was not there that whole time during daylight when a bomb-sniffing dog showed up at 9:30. And as I said, off camera, but you can see that what you do is kind of work your way into the crevices towards the DNC. So as we see right to left, they're working their way. They would have worked that area at 9:25, 9:30, whenever that was. And then we see them working right to left and working into the driveway area and then even leaving from the back driveway area to the right toward the building, which puts them back towards the bomb, the pipe bomb, the alleged pipe bomb location, which it wasn't there. And the dog had went, off stage right in that direction anyway. I'm not saying they detect from 3 feet away, but they very well may start to detect from 3 feet away. And then, they get their urge on and they pull their handler to, in the direction. But that dog was in the direction 2 to 3 times and left in that direction. The guy and the dog probably approached from the right and went toward the DNC area. If they were doing a full, check, it would just be as simply, let's walk from right to left, get towards a building, let them sniff around, walk up towards a building where we can. Obviously, where it's empty, there's nothing there. So we go back to where something could be hid, and we let the dog sniff back there. The natural pathway would have been right to left from the curb, up into the areas toward the bushes, up into the areas toward the ground cover at the front of the building. I forget as you go, behind that bench and go all the way right, whether it's ground cover or whether it's bushes. But nonetheless, either way, that would be the natural area to let the dog check. Then we see him doing that natural thing, which is, okay, next thing, go into the driveway, check around the driveway, check from the right from the driveway, check to the left from the driveway. It wasn't there at 9:30, plain and simple. And then we saw so much activity at the then 11:25, plenty of people going in that direction, that why would we imagine that they wouldn't have seen it too? And some of the other times, it's just activity not far. It becomes, you'd have to listen again, but it becomes, not very, very obvious that they definitely spent a lot of time there. But on the other hand, they're highly trained agents, and why wouldn't they have spent, their time over there? And so that's where it becomes not directly, suspicious per se, but at least circumstantially suspicious.
Hold on just a second. I got to plug in my computer.
Okay, guys. So that's what I have for you, really. Hope you enjoyed that. Again, websites, I don't know that I'll put it in my description, is declassified.live. That's declassified with, let's see here, with Julie Kelly. Incredible work by her and a Haley McLean. One, again, is One Suspicious Moment in DNC Pipe Bomb Mystery. I say again, last time I didn't say the whole headline, but we'll go ahead and look. And let me go back and see if they've done any other updates here. Now, they do have a paywall, so I might be missing some of them. They're trying to make a little bit of money. I really should subscribe to them. They're doing such good work. So I'm going to name a few more articles that I mentioned earlier and with full titles. Another near miss at the DNC on January 6th, ? Former Capitol Police Chief stated that a member of the House leadership was at the DNC on January 6th. Who was it, and how did police again fail to discover the alleged explosive in plain sight? There's a good picture of it, and it is just really, again, from the front side, you can see it, and it's at the base of the bush and of the leg of the bench. Second one, then. Kamala Harris, still unexplained presence. I want to call her Kama. I just love that my phone hears me say Kamala, and it auto-types Kama. Great. Kamala Harris's still unexplained presence at the DNC on January 6th. Video shows law enforcement's unfazed response to the discovery of a deadly pipe bomb within the vicinity of incoming VP Kamala Harris on January 6th. But a bigger question remains, why was she there? Great stuff. Darren Beatty's latest... So there we go, when I talked about the Revolver News hero. It's Darren Beatty or Beatty? B-E-A-T-T-I-E. Darren Beatty's latest on the January 6th pipe bomber. Revolver News published video showing law enforcement's lackadaisical response to the discovery of a pipe bomb, quote-unquote, outside the DNC on January 6th. Another one, then. Update. Bomb-sniffing dog performed vehicle search and separate sweep outside DNC hours before pipe bomb was discovered. Didn't know about vehicle search, but that's good. Media continues to ignore Kamala Harris's DNC pipe bomb scare. A new DHS IG report confirms Harris came within 20 feet of an explosive on January 6th, but regime media, J6 truth seekers, and even Harris herself continue to disregard the findings. Why? So that was earlier August, and yeah, except that it wasn't there at the time. That's the truth of it, right? But I was like, well, according to your story, it was. Another suspicious moment in DNC pipe bomb mystery. An unidentified individual carrying a bag exited a police vehicle, then walked toward the location where the device was found, quote unquote, about 15 minutes later. There are no coincidences. So, yeah, great work. Interviews on the latest DNC pipe bomb exclusive. This is August 17th. So that one I don't think I've tried to unravel and look at. Benny Johnson and I discussed the J6 pipe bomb story on Rumble. I appeared on Dan Bongino's radio program. My discussion with Jack Posobiec. I've heard of that guy, but I don't know him off the top of my head. I guess Real America Voice. Interview on War Room with Natalie Winters, who's doing a stellar job replacing Steve Bannon while he sets in prison under the Biden regime. J6th American Nightmare, Lieutenant Colonel Larry Brock. I am not totally sure of whether or not this really mentions a pipe bomb in that thing. I think I saw something about maybe someone thinking there was a pipe bomb on the Capitol lawn. But yeah, anyway, great work over there. I hope that gave you a little bit of information and has you look more into it. Honestly, I gave you enough information. You can semi-conclude on some of these things. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. And please check out the back catalog. There's a lot of stuff there. Check out all of my COVID and vaccine stuff. Check out, there's a great episode on, and different episodes on glyphosate, nanoparticles, not nanomachines, although there is that. I haven't gone into any of that stuff. Nanoparticles and their effect on health, since they're so unnaturally small, and all the connections that, quote, science is already made, even while other parts of, quote, science act like it's no big deal at all. So, a lot of stuff in the back catalog, as well as various rants of truth. So, yep, over here on the Scales of Truth, follow, get notifications. Tell me what you think on Spotify. I have connected to that. Don't know that I really get the notifications, but I've connected and told them my email address that goes along with it. And also Chemology411, where we just have ridiculous amounts of episodes over there with Kim Schultz. Okay, guys, thanks for listening.